Hello, and welcome back to the He's Going Back podcast. I am your host, Jamie, and today's person of interest is CC Sabathia. I would like to take you back to June 10th, 2007. CC had just completed a 9-inning shutout, allowing 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. Now, the Indians would go on to lose that game in the 12th inning by 1 run. It was a 0-1 game, but 9 innings. It was just a dominant performance in a year that he won the Cy Young. Born July 21st, 1980 in Vallejo, California. He grew up there pretty much his whole life, went to Vallejo High School. Had both parents, mostly his mom raised him. His dad left him, I think it was 13. And they had grown in a relationship when they were adults. He never had anything really bad to say about him. He helped out when he could, and he had a relationship as a young kid and as an adult, so they obviously got over things and figured it out, which is always nice to see. I mean, how many stories have we heard of a father leaving and that's it? I mean, sometimes they don't even wait till 13, which is a sad story, but not in this case. So he was drafted in 1998 in the first round, pick 20, by the Cleveland Indians. He was a pretty high prospect, especially being a lefty pitcher, known for his fastball. He was dominant up until then. I mean, he was drafted right out of high school. And he didn't really spend too much time in the minors. He made 48 starts, went 12 for 12 with a 3.79 ERA. I mean, that's not really that big of a sample size for them to promote him. And obviously it worked out, and they didn't regret any decision they made with that. So 2007, he won the AL Cy Young with the Indians. In 2001, he was second in Rookie of the Year to Ichiro Suzuki. I thought that was interesting that the Hall of Fame, they both got inducted the same year. They both came into the league the same year. One went first overall and Rookie of the Year, one came second, one was unanimous Hall of Fame, or almost, should have been, one vote. CC was at 80+%, so both amazing careers, and tied in two ways, which I think is very cool. He ended up winning a World Series in 2009 with the New York Yankees. He was the ALCS MVP that year. He was a big part of that team, and what helped them win that? And that was his first year there, after signing a huge contract. It was a 7-year, $161 million deal. So, in his book, he had talked about how much pressure that let off of him winning a World Series in his first year. After that, no one would say that his contract wasn't worth it, or he wasn't worth it. That was it. I mean, that winning helps all, and obviously it worked out for him. He had 3,093 career strikeouts, which is third all-time for lefties. Number one, the big unit, Randy Johnson, 4,875. Number two, Steve Carlton with 4,136. And then CC at 3,093. So those two above him, they're outliers. I mean, those are numbers that, honestly, I don't think we'll ever see righties hit. I don't think we'll see anyone hit again. It's the way the league is and the way pitching is managed. I just don't see that happening, but could be wrong. We have some current 3,000 career strikeout guys, but they're towards the end of their career with Verlander and Kershaw, Max Scherzer. So we got a couple guys. But I think after them, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. I just don't... The metrics for getting into the Hall of Fame are definitely going to change, because they just won't have the innings. They won't have the strikeouts just because of the innings. I mean, there's dominant pitchers that don't have those kind of numbers and need to be in or whatever. He is ranked 24th in career wins since 1947 with 251. I mean, that's no small number. And again, I think that's in that conversation of, will we see 200 win pitchers? It'll be interesting to see what the pitching group getting into the Hall of Fame in 30 years is like, see what kind of numbers they put up. I think some of these numbers will be left in the rankings or where they pan out. He was traded to the Brewers at the trade deadline in 2008 from the Indians to the Brewers in a move because Cleveland knew they weren't going to sign him, get something in return. And then in 2009, he signed that massive deal with New York. He then 5 years later, after that was deals up, they signed another 5-year, $122 million deal. So obviously New York loved him. I mean, I grew up a Indians fan, and that was like my prime era. Watching CC Sabathia was amazing and my favorite player of the time. It sucked. And that's a bigger conversation in baseball of retaining star players for lower market teams. And I don't like it being a fan of a smaller market team, watching these guys develop and grow with a team to just leave and hit their peaks and with another, especially a team like New York, who has done it time and time again, not just to the Indians, but pretty much every team in baseball. They've outbid a team for a guy, but they don't win it every year, so it is what it is. An argument that I would like to make, and I know it's his choice and his whatever he decided is his choice, whatever. Going into the Hall of Fame as an Indian over a Yankee. Now, obviously, you can't compete with the Yankee legacy, the Yankee honors. I mean, that stuff is, the Yankee history is absolutely insane, and what they can do is just mind-boggling, really. But with the Indians, I think that's where he really, I mean, obviously he learned how to be a professional pitcher. I mean, he learned, he developed, he grew with the system. And once he finally figured everything out and knew how to play the game right, gone. So with that being said, in Cleveland, he played 8 years. New York, he played 11. Cleveland, he went 106-71 with a 3.83 ERA, 3 All-Stars, and a Cy Young. Now, those are great stats. Those are good numbers. Nothing anyone would complain about. In New York, he went 134-88, 3.81 ERA, and 3 All-Star appearances with that ALCS MVP in 2009. So, I mean, I really am not that disappointed that he picked New York over the Indians. The stats line up. He played 3 years longer in New York. Does he get to where he is without the development that the Indians have? And I think you can look back as the Yankees they bring in a lot of pitchers. They just go and pay the big names, come pitch. Cleveland has developed pitching after pitching, year after year, to, I mean, they're a juggernaut, I think, of development. So if he grew up in that Yankees farm system and did all this, do you think he makes the Hall of Fame? Or is he a good pitcher but not a great one? I don't know. I mean, that's a big what if. I'm curious. And I would have loved to see another Indian get in, but that's okay. He deserves it. I would never talk bad about him. He was fun to watch. My only thing, I wish he would have got to do more in the playoffs with the Indians. I remember watching the 07 ALCS against the Red Sox, and he just did not perform, did not look good. And I think that's why in 2009 you saw him rise to the occasion. It took that year of, oh, this is different type of baseball. This is a different game in the playoffs. But that's cool. He's such a character. He's such a unique guy. So he retired after the 2019 season. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2025. And, I mean, he deserved it. All the credit to him. Put in the work. Did the job. He is ranked 55th in career WAR ranking for pitchers. Which, that number is a little misleading. And it looks lower than what it really should be. I wasn't able to break it down from 1947 till now. And I'm going to use 1947 and everything that I can because that was the integration of baseball. And I think it's more fair that way. Everyone was allowed to play, and those are the rules I've set up. So in those 55 men, there was a lot of those old timers that those stats are just unheard of and will never be touched. I mean, they were pitching on 2 days rest and just pitching 9 innings every time. Like, it was crazy for a guy to not finish a game. So I think that 55 is a little low. And if I would have been able to break it down from 1947 till now, I think he would have probably been in that top 20 talk, top 30. I don't know. It was hard to look at it. I mean, I probably could have put a little more time and effort into that, but I just thought it was a good benchmark. 55 is amazing. I mean, of how many pitchers have pitched in Major League Baseball from the beginning, and to be in the top 55, that's awesome. Another thing I'd like to talk about with CC, and it kind of spoke to me a little bit, was his problems with alcohol abuse and his alcoholism. I think I've struggled to not drink. I've been on a couple months. I tried not to think of the date or anything, just live my life and let it behind me. And it was interesting to hear how he dealt with that. Because I kind of read his book when I started that process, and it was very informal and interesting to hear someone else, especially at that level, and the damages it caused him. And hell yeah, we're totally different, grew up in different parts of the country, a multimillionaire baseball star, and I'm just some guy in his house. And how we could have the same type of realizations and same type of effects on our family that he did. And that was very interesting, and I enjoyed that a lot, to read about that. So I'm not going to go into some of his darker sides of it, because it's past him. And I recommend reading his book, which is Till the End by C.C. Sabathia. It was very good. I have thoroughly enjoyed his book. I liked the parts in the very beginning when he talked about growing up in Vallejo, where he didn't grow up in a great neighborhood. There was gang violence. There was a lot of opportunities to end up in the wrong path, and he didn't. And it took the community. He said how many people would, hey, knock this off. You need to leave. Get out of here. To help him. They saw how good he was and saw he had a future to get out, and didn't want him to fall in the traps of gang violence or just delinquency as a child. And that was very uplifting. And I love hearing stories like that, because it does take a community to raise a child. Because life's hard out here. And you can't put the effort and the time into kids as you would like. So there's nothing against anyone in his family or anything. It's just, it's hard. Managing work and time to unwind. It's a challenge. And you need more than one person. And he had it in that community. And that was very nice to hear. And he obviously took advantage of it. Not many guys do. So for me, CC Sabathia is probably my favorite pitcher to ever watch play. I watched him less as he went to the Yankees. But those first 8 years with the Indians, man, those were, he got the team on his back sometimes. It was awesome. He also is part of the reason I quit watching baseball. When he left, it hurt. And I was, I was 10 years old. So I didn't understand how that worked. I just saw a man say he didn't like us as much and leave. I didn't understand the money things of it, but I was just a fan of baseball, and I was a fan of his. Like, he was so cool. He brought a swagger to the mound that I think few have matched. And it was very cool and very, like, impressionable age for me to watch. But yeah, I did watch him less, and I watched baseball less. Because in that 09 World Series, 2 years after our ALCS debacle against the Red Sox, CC Sabathia, game one versus Cliff Lee. Another story of Cleveland losing a star player. That hurt, man. That really hurt watching those two guys battle it out. Because it was, we had both of them on the same team. And it just, it hurt. It killed me. And I, till recently, till last year, I just got back into it. Because it was exciting. And the NFL just isn't scratching me where I itch anymore. You know, the Guardians playing well in the playoffs helps. But now they got me again. They got me as a fan, and I'm all about it. Obviously, I just started a podcast doing baseball talk. I've really enjoyed reading these players' autobiographies, and I just wanted someone to share that info with. Or just talk about the player. I'm not really a numbers guy or a great talker or whatever, but I just like talking about baseball and talking about something I read about. And how CC was pretty an easy choice for my second pick, especially with his name being brought up in the Hall of Fame talks. It took me back to a kid watching baseball. So with the card that I had gotten for my collection, I buy a PSA graded card after every autobiography I finish, just as a little reminder of what I read. And I just enjoy collecting football and baseball cards. So I had bought a 2005 Topps CC Sabathia PSA 10. It's a very nice card. I like the 05s. All of my cards, I stuck with Topps. Topps are what I always started buying getting as a kid and what I always bought as an adult. So I just stick to Topps. But the 05s look cool. And in a 10, it looks really good. So that's about all I have today about CC Sabathia and what he meant to me, what he meant to baseball. And I hope you enjoyed.